You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 3rd of December 2025, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I've got a Christmas themed episode for us today, and this is quite interesting because it reminds me of something that's just happened to myself. I purchased a nativity scene from Amazon. And I looked at the scene and I thought, well, that looks okay. You've got baby Jesus, you've got Jesus, you've got Mary, an angel there, and they all look European. And then when it arrived, one of them was actually black. One of the characters was black, which didn't represent what was seen in the picture at all. And this isn't because I don't like black people, it's because I like things to be historically accurate. And what they had done is they had made one of the wise men. They portrayed him as black. Well, the wise men came from Persia, and Persia was white at that time. It wasn't until the Muslim invasion of Persia that it became Arabs, and the Muslims interbred with them. They were Persians up to that point. They were white. If you look at Alexander the Great around his time, he allowed his generals to marry Persians because the Persians were white, the same as the Macedonian Greeks. He didn't allow his generals to marry Indians, and he didn't allow his generals to marry the Egyptians, because by that time a lot of the Egyptians were no longer white. So this black character in a nativity scene is historically inaccurate. They've gone one further than that here. In this article, which I've got for us today, this comes from Breitbart. It's entitled "Faceless Inclusive Nativity Scene Sparks Backlash in Brussels." A faceless and quote inclusive nativity scene put on by the city of Brussels has sparked controversy and calls for it to be removed, with critics rebranding the installation as an insult to Christian heritage and tradition. Well, modern Christianity is as inclusive as it gets. Judeo-Christianity, it's open to everyone. You don't have to alter the history of it and start portraying characters as being black who weren't black. That just says, well, you don't believe the original history. If you think you know better and they're actually black, you must think it's just a fairy tale if you can just alter things like that. You know, it's quite insulting, really, that they have done this. On Friday, the Brussels city government unveiled its new nativity scene at the Grand Place, the medieval market square in the city centre of the Belgian capital. The city said that it was necessary to replace its previous feature, as it had become dilapidated and difficult to transport without destroying it. Mayor of Brussels, Philippe Close, the self-described secularist and socialist party politician, said that he farmed out the design of the new nativity scene to the cathedrals of St. Michael and St. Gudula, who selected the design of Brussels-based artist Victoria Maria. Unlike traditional nativity scenes, the one designed by Victoria Maria was made entirely of recycled fabrics, and the figures of Mary, Joseph, the baby Jesus, a donkey, the three wise men, a shepherd, and a sheep were all faceless, replaced with a pixelated patchwork of beige and brown fabrics. And I don't think they were being ironic there either. It just looks like a mess. And they've done this because they wish to show that the nativity scene was actually full of brown people But instead of actually doing that, they've just sort of made this beige and brown mess out of the faces so that they don't even have any features. A member of the designing team told La Libre, the purpose was to create an inclusive mix of all skin tones so that everyone can see themselves reflected. And quite clearly, nobody can see themselves reflected in that at all, because it's just a hodgepodge mess without any features. And that's effectively what you'd get if you were to blend all the races together. You wouldn't see, and nobody would see themselves reflected in it. It would just be a hodgepodge mess of a human being. And he would look back at the history of other human beings and he would think, well, none of them look like me. What am I? Where did I come from? So it is quite ironic that this is actually what they've done by trying to be inclusive. However, many found the scene insulting, including Belgian Senator Georges-Louis Boucher, who described the faceless figures as being more akin to the zombies at Brussels stations than a real nativity scene. How ugly is a society that denies its values? This nativity scene is terrible and an insult to our traditions. It is unacceptable to see our traditions eroded time and again because of so-called inclusivity, the reformist movement leader wrote on X. An inclusive society is one that brings people together, and Christmas is the holiday that does that. Boucher's called for the nativity to be replaced immediately, or at the latest for next year's edition. Mayor Close had previously said that the city hopes the scene will be useful for at least the next 5 years. Yeah, they're sort of looking ahead, aren't they? They'll probably import as many black and brown people as they possibly can into the city. So they're expecting the percentage of the demographics to go up every year, so that within 5 years, perhaps they're expecting everybody to be non-white. So that's why they did this. They were expecting it to last for a few years. But unfortunately, it's caused all sorts of problems. Professor of Cognitive Psychology Wouter Duyck of Ghent University suggested that political correctness and a fear of angering Brussels' large Muslim population was the true inspiration for the faceless nativity scene. In Islam, the faces of prophets are not depicted. This is the nativity scene in the capital of Europe. Whoever decided to impose a hierarchy on religions in favour of the least tolerant one, Professor Duyck questioned. So the fact of the matter is that this nativity is surrounded by Muslims. That's another reason why they removed the faces on the nativity scene, because Muslims do not depict their prophets with faces. So that's effectively saying that this is an Islamic version of Jesus, where Jesus was merely a prophet and not the Son of God. He said, as a free thinker, I'm greatly concerned about our secularity and neutrality. Coexistence and freedom of religion require precisely that you do not impose things on others. The strange thing is that it is not the Muslims who are doing this. And then in brackets, I hope. He suggested that it was a misplaced fallacy among liberals, holding that spewing mist over one's own traditions, values and fundamental principles would be beneficial for integration and would facilitate living together in diversity. But you can't live together in diversity. A house divided against itself will always fall. It just means that society will be in constant division. That's one of the reasons for diversity, is it prevents the people within a society from organising together and providing any resistance, because they're all different groups. Meanwhile, the mayor's office said on Saturday that the head of baby Jesus was stolen from the nativity scene. It is so far unclear what the motive for the theft was. So you've got desecration of the nativity scene as well. Now, this isn't just what I wanted to talk about today. It's just that this brought up this issue to me, and that is the false replication of history, the diversifying of history, particularly biblical history, where not just in the nativity scene that I purchased with the black wise man in it, and not just here with the brown and black faces, or brown and beige faces rather, that they had in this nativity scene, but more and more often you're seeing people that think that Jesus wasn't actually white, that Jesus must have actually been Jewish looking, like a modern Jew or looking like a Palestinian. And just because that part of the world now has brown people in it doesn't mean that it always had brown people in it. If you look at the older depictions of biblical times, which you have in British churches, I'm not so sure whether they even have this in Europe, but we have these great stained glass windows that the sun shines through, and they have pictures, biblical pictures of characters from the Bible, and they're always blonde-haired and blue-eyed, all of them. All the angels are blonde-haired and blue-eyed. It never would have been dreamt of years ago that Jesus and his ancestors were brown people. I mean, that's historically illiterate. It really is. Judea at the time was a Roman protectorate. It was full of Romans. North Africa, what is now Tunisia, that was full of Romans as well. In fact, that was colonized by the Phoenicians about 1,000 years before Christ, maybe a little bit later than that. And the Phoenicians were in the area, originated from the area where Judea is, where Syria is today, and Lebanon. And they were all white people there. You can see it on the statues that ISIS was smashing and pulling down. You've got Palmyra there. You've got representations of white people. If you go over to Samaria, down in the area that's now parts of Arab lands, and all the depictions of them were with blue eyes. In fact, they had a proportion among them that were called the black-headed people, and they were servants. So the whole area started out white. The whole of the Fertile Crescent, which is where civilization first began, was all white people. And the white people from there spread out to other parts of the world. They spread to India. They spread to the west, to Ukraine, on into Europe. It took quite a long time to actually get into Europe. And at first, they just lived on the coastlands because the inland areas were filled up with trees and forestry and all sorts. And I'm going by early reports here, the early reports by the Greeks and the Romans actually talking about Europe and these Germanic tribes. They were just on the coastlands. In Britain, we had the tin trade. And in order for there to have been a Bronze Age at all, the great classical Bronze Age of the ancient civilizations, the only reason they were able to have that is because they had a cheap source of tin. And the only area that actually had tin in it was Cornwall. So there was a trade going on between Britain and Egypt and Sumeria in order to get the tin to make the bronze from. These were quite clearly white people. They weren't non-white people. They weren't Arabs. They weren't sub-Saharan Africans. They were white people. And as time went on, you had multiculturalism. Particularly of note was in Egypt. We had, you started off with white dynasties of pharaohs, and then there was multiculturalism, and you would get mixed race pharaohs. Then white people would come in again, as I was mentioning earlier. Alexander the Great went in there with white people again, and they had a white aristocracy. And then that collapsed again, and you had mixed race people in Egypt. And what you had in Judea and what was Israel, which was Ephraim, Samaria, you had white people there originally, which were the sons of Shem. Don't forget Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the three brothers, the three sons of Noah. They were all white people. They all looked like Noah. Noah is talked of in the Apocrypha as having a face like the sun, I think it is. So he's got a red face and blonde hair, like the white hairs of a sheep. In the Old Testament, David, King David, is spoken of as having red rosy cheeks and blue eyes. There's lots of mentions of red rosy cheeks in the Old Testament. So these were the people that Jesus's ancestors were. And by the time you get to Roman times, when Judea was occupied by Rome, you still had white people there, but you also had Canaanite groups there. And the Canaanite groups is where today's modern Jews are descended from. And they were mixed race. So by the time you get to Roman times, you had a mixed race population and you had a white population. And the mixed race Jewish population were the ones that were running things. Herod, who the Jews call Herod the Great, Herod the baby killer, he was of Canaanite extraction. He was an Edomite. And he put in all the top places in the Pharisees, and they were all the same as him. They were Edomites. And he put the high priest in place, and he was an Edomite. So all the top positions were taken by these Edomites who were of a mixed racial heritage. The Bible tells us that Esau, who was Jacob Israel's brother, Esau Edom, he married Canaanite wives. He married Canaanite women. So his descendants were all Canaanites. And the Israelites and the people of Shem were told, do not take wives of the Canaanites. They are accursed people. So Jacob Israel, who the Israelites are descended from, Esau Edom's brother, he married his aunt's daughter. So he married a cousin, basically, at a time before our genetic degradation was so much that we were not able to do that. Obviously, if you do that now, then you're going to introduce mutations into the offspring. But back then, rather like a photocopier, the more you take photocopies on a photocopier, the worse the copy gets. That originally it was quite good. Back then, the genetic code was still pure. It wasn't degraded in the way that it is now. So Jacob Israel married his cousin, and his descendants were all Shemites. His brother, Esau Edom, he married a Canaanite woman. His descendants were all Canaanites, and they're the people of God's curse. It tells you about both the Old Testament and the New Testament that Esau Edom was the one that God cursed. So by the time you get to Jesus, you've got these Edomites that are running things. They are the establishment. And Jesus came for the 12 tribes of Israel. He certainly didn't come for the Canaanites. And the Canaanites knew this, and that's why they had him killed. They knew that they weren't a part of Jesus' ministry. They weren't a part of the 12 tribes of Israel. They knew that very well. They knew that Jacob Israel had been given the covenant. Their own ancestor, Esau Edom, he sold his heritage for a pot of potage, some porridge or something, when he was famished. And because he was a race mixer, when it came to Isaac, who was their father, when it came to Isaac giving out the blessings, Sarah, Rachel, that's the name, Rachel is Abraham and Sarah. Rachel said to Jacob Israel, put this wool on your arms and put this wool on your face so that you look, so that when your father feels you, you will feel like your brother Esau. Because Esau was actually the older one, and then you will get the blessing instead of Esau. And people look at that and they'll say, well, how devious, what a horrible thing to do. But it's already told you that Esau Edom had married Canaanite women. And Rachel said that if Jacob Israel does the same, she would rather commit suicide. And that these Canaanite wives were a grief of mind to her. It was like a physical affliction to her that her son had married Canaanite women. That's the reason why she fixed it, so that her husband would give the blessing to Jacob Israel, is because otherwise all those blessings would have gone to the Canaanites, the people that are the Jews today. So she was devious in actually doing that, but it was to prevent a greater evil, effectively, is why she did that. And all of this shows that the inhabitants of Judea were white. I mean, this is why in the Old Testament you have all these genealogies. It tells you so-and-so was the son of so, and he was the son of so-and-so, and he was the son of so-and-so. And it gives you this great long family tree. The whole point of that is to show that they were of pure lineage. They were of pure aristocratic lineage, that they could show that they descended from Jacob Israel. They were showing that they were white. And the Persians, the Magi that came over from Persia, the Persians were of the same family as well as Shem. I think they came from Arphaxad, which was one of Shem's sons. This is the reason why when the Judahites are in captivity, and the king of Babylon says, gives them the money and says, go back to Judah, your old land, and rebuild the temple, and I'll pay for it. The reason why he did that is because they were part of his same family. They were his kinsmen. Obviously, he wasn't a quote-unquote Jew. He was a Persian, and he followed the Persian gods. But he was descended from the same people as the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Israel. And they were told that they would be a people apart from the rest, and they were to be a special consecrated people to God, and that they were not to marry any of these Canaanites. They were told not to give their sons to strange women and not to give their women to strange men in marriage. And of course, they did do that. I mean, that's why they ended up being kicked out of the country, is because they allowed that to happen, much the same as we've allowed it to happen in our countries today. So I think I'm showing here quite clearly that they were white people. They may have looked slightly different to Europeans today, but that's because it was 200 years ago, 2000 years ago. You would get slight changes in, because when people breed, they would obviously breed for the most beautiful person and the most intelligent person. So you would get slight changes that would happen. That's if beauty and intelligence equated with success in society, which it did back then, because we didn't have interest on money. We didn't have usury. Usury ends up propelling people with the worst moral afflictions to the top of society, rather than propelling the people who are literally the best at everything to the top of society. And what we can see with this nativity scene, where they're putting black people into the nativity scene, it's the same with the television, where they put black people on the television and pretend that they've lived in Britain all this time for thousands of years, when they haven't. And the same thing must have happened in the Middle East. They knew that they were white people there, and the white people got replaced by the Arab peoples. And then from that time on, people have sort of assumed that they must have always been Arab. Whereas the word Arab itself means mixed race. So quite clearly, it was a race which wasn't mixed at the time. The word Arab is an old Hebrew word, and it comes from mixing warp and weft together, mixing two types of twine together. And the word is also linked to a darkening, such as what happens when it gets dusk, when the sun goes down and it gets dusky. So it's linked with two things being mixed together and going darker in colour. And that's where the word Arab comes from. You can look it up in a Bible concordance. So in biblical times, there was quite clearly a pure lineage, an aristocratic lineage that went straight back all the way back to Shem. And there was another lineage which came from the Canaanites, and the son Canaan interbred with the tribes that were already in the land. And the tribes that were already in the land were the people that were left over after the flood. Of course, the flood didn't cover the whole earth. The flood just covered the lands that it was possible to see at that time. And it wiped out a certain number of people at that time. But after that, when Noah and his three sons went out colonizing, they met other peoples. And the son Canaan, who is another story of who his parentage is, but Canaan ended up interbreeding with the humans that were already there, the Kenites, the descendants of the Nephilim, because his brothers wouldn't give him any wives after what he did, and because he was cursed to be a slave. So you wouldn't give your daughters to somebody who was cursed to be a slave. So Canaan ended up interbreeding with the other peoples that were already there, and that's your origin of a mixed race type. And then the word Arab started being used for a particular part of the country, and that's where the word Arabia comes from. And you can look all this up in the Bible concordance. So the fact you have that word, and it's in that area, and the area that's now Arabia, which used to be the land that Esau Edom had, that was where Esau Edom lived, that shows you that there were two people groups there at the time. And the one people group that became Christian were the type that were descended from Jacob Israel, and the people group that had the mixed race heritage that were descended from the Canaanites, they became the Jews, the people that we know today as the Jews. And they wrote the Talmud, and the Talmud was written 400, 500 years after Christ. But in all of this, we're taught today that if a certain group of people lives in a certain country, it must have been that like that all the time. And they're teaching us that in history now, aren't they? Or they're teaching the children that in history. They're pretending that all the different races that are here now, that they've been here all this time. And they'll show you black people from Roman times. And it's very deceitful the way that they do that, because we found evidence of North Africans here at Roman times. But North Africa in Roman times was Roman. It was full of white people. And the evidence that they have that there were people from North Africa over here is the remains of the things that they ate. That's all they have, is to say that these people that were here in Roman times and a little bit after that, they were eating foods that came from North Africa. Well, it was all white people in North Africa. It wasn't black people. But today, when these people that are making these television programs, when they see, oh, it's evidence of a North African, we have to draw a depiction of that. We'll have to draw an image of it. They turn it into a black person. And that's where these wrong ideas about history come from. And as I say, the same things happened with the Holy Land. The same things happened with Judea, and that always used to be full of white people. It wasn't until fairly late that it became full of non-white people. I mean, it is today. If you look at Palestine, a lot of people think that the Jews are white. But if you talk to the Jews themselves, or you listen to what they say, they will tell you that they're not white, actually. They're Jewish. They may be fair-skinned, but they don't actually see themselves as white, because they know that they are different. And if they know their history, they also know that they're descended from Esau, Edom. It's all written about by Flavius Josephus in his Wars of the Jews and History of the Judeans. Back then, the word Jew could mean someone of any ethnicity that was just a citizen of Judea. And again, in the New Testament, Jesus says to these Jews of the time that they're making proselytes, and that every proselyte they make is twice the child of hell as the last one. So it was actually the Jews of the time that were proselytizing and trying to get people to join this religion. But the Old Testament religion of the Hebrews didn't tell them to proselytize. It told them that they were separate to everybody else. They weren't to proselytize. So the fact that they were doing the opposite of that, and the fact that they stopped, like the Edomites didn't keep records of their ancestry, but the Israelites did, that sort of kind of implies that the Israelites must have been white, doesn't it? Certainly not black, as today's nativity scenes show, and certainly not brown and faceless, as this nativity scene in Brussels shows. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.